start those clocks again. Yeah. We are waiting for that. So, folks, welcome out to Turkey Tales. I'm Josh from Vermont Fish and Wildlife, and before I introduce our partners, I just want to give a little bit of background about how this story night and listening night came to happen. So, you probably know that turkeys are native to Vermont. You probably know that we have a ton of turkeys in Vermont. What you may not know is that 60 years ago, there were next to no turkeys in Vermont. Between European settlement and today, turkeys lost habitat, got over-harvested, and were basically wiped out in the Northeast. 50, 60 years ago, a bunch of people, biologists, the early National Wild Turkey Federation, Vermonters, started working to bring turkeys back. And the 50th anniversary of that first regulated hunting season, when our turkey population was thriving again and it could sustain a harvest, was 50 years ago last year. So at Fish and Wildlife, we realized that we're kind of passing this moment when people's memory about the reintroduction and about the early days of hunting is gonna start to be less in our minds. And that's when we reached out to Folklife to try to record some of those early memories and then to get stories from today as we look ahead to the next half century of turkey hunting in Vermont. So I want to pass the mic off now to Carter from National Wild Turkey Federation to give you a little background on the conservation side of this.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for being here. This is exciting. I love this kind of collaborative stuff. As he said, my name is Carter Heath, and I'm the regional director for the National Wild Turkey Federation. We as an organization have been at it now as well for 51 years, and that's a lot of mission delivery. Our mission, which I'm very pleased to be aligned with, is that we're dedicated to the conservation of the wild turkey and the preservation of America's hunting heritage. And that is two things that really drew me to this organization. And I'm sure, you know, I'm going to be around if anybody has questions. But thank you again for being here. I'm excited.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks, Carter. My name's Mary Wesley, and I work with Vermont Folklife. And I'm joined today by my colleagues Andy Kolovos, who's our archivist, and Kate Hoy, who's our executive director. And I'm the director of education and media. And if you don't know us, Vermont Folklife has been around since 1984. We're a statewide nonprofit. We have our offices and our archive in Middlebury, Vermont. But we travel all around the state, and we engage with communities to document and share everyday expressions of tradition, innovation, and culture. And what that means is we're interested in understanding the everyday lives of Vermonters. We're interested in hearing from and documenting and preserving stories, experiences, told in your own words and on your own terms. And so a lot of our work is really, really collaborative. Our archive holds over 6,000 interviews recorded over the past four decades and growing. And this has been a great pleasure to work in collaboration with Josh and Carter to document the wild turkey in Vermont. We've learned so much, and we couldn't have asked for better partners. Josh and Nicole connected us with hunters around the state. Some of you are here today. Thanks for coming out to learn what turkey hunting really looks like and sounds like today, and also connected us with folks who were around 50 years ago when the reintroduction was underway. There are some wonderful stories that we're gonna play for you tonight that come from those interviews. We'll just play some short clips tonight, but the entirety of all these interviews will be saved in our archive for many years to come. So we are really excited about listening at Vermont Folklife. That's kind of at the core of what we do. And we think it's kind of a unique experience to sit down and really just listen to what someone has to say in their own words, in their own voices. And so that's what the first portion of this listening party is going to be tonight, is we're going to play you some audio. Don't really have any visuals besides our wonderful fearless mascot up here on the speaker. But we're just going to hear some of these stories, starting at the beginning 50 years ago, hearing from Jeff Whalen and John Hall, who were in charge of the initial reintroduction process. We'll pause, and Josh will introduce some of the other speakers that you'll hear as we go along in the program. And then in the second half, we hope that some of you are going to get up here and add your stories and add your voices to this collection. So thank you so much for coming out in this classic first day of spring in Vermont weather. Thanks to Burlington Beer Company for hosting us, and thanks to our wonderful server helping us out here. We're excited to spend the evening with you. And we're going to kick it off with a first clip from Jeffrey Whalen, who was the lead wildlife biologist in charge of the initial wild turkey reintroduction in Vermont. So get settled in, open your ears. We have programs or transcripts of everything that you're gonna hear around on the tables. There's a few more copies up here if you'd like to grab one, but just open your ears, and here we go.
So, after those first couple years of rocket netting turkeys, capturing them, letting them loose in Vermont, the turkeys did great, which shouldn't surprise anyone. But by 1973, we had enough turkeys, especially in the south of the state near the initial reintroduction sites, that we could open a regulated hunt. And a really amazing thing about this next clip is we're gonna hear Jeff, that same biologist who did the rocket net recapture and relocation of turkeys, talking with John Hall, who's still with us at Fish and Wildlife today, and who was one of the people at the check stations during that first hunting season. And they're just going back and forth about what it was like for turkey hunters learning from scratch after years of no turkey hunting in the state. So when that 50th anniversary last spring was coming up, we were hearing at work from John Hall a lot about his memories of the first season. And it got us thinking, who is still around who hunted that first season? So we're thinking through in the Hunter Ed Instructors Program or in the National Wild Turkey Federation, is there anyone we know? And Nicole actually kind of found the our break of luck. She found a New York Times article from May 9th, 1973, which had the name of the person who shot the first turkey in Vermont's regulated season at 6 that morning. And the hunter, John Hathaway, is still alive. He lives out in New York State now. So Andy and I traveled out there to talk to him about that first hunt and the first turkey that was brought in the state. So one of my favorite things about John Hathaway's story is 50 years later and now looking ahead to the next 50 years, turkey hunting has not changed that much. We all still kind of feel like we're made a fool of. There's, for all of us, still some like kind of Hail Mary runs over the crest in the field. All of us are surprised by the flop. And an amazing thing about John Hathaway is that we got to hear the rest of the story of his life as a turkey hunter. After that first hunt, he kept hunting into his 70s. He has stories like that, stories for days. It was a kind of amazing thing. So after that first hunt, turkey hunting in Vermont took off. The population continued to do great. We expanded up north in the state. Eventually, we opened fall seasons. And Over the decades between now and then, there have just been some really standout conservation moments. And probably the most standout is the time that we gave turkeys to West Germany during the Cold War.
So I get this call from...
So the Cold War turkey heist is kind of a natural changing point in the history of turkey hunting in Vermont, sort of midway between the reintroduction and where we are today. And what we have in the next half of the program is stories from turkey hunters today. But before I shift over to that, I wanted to see if there's anyone in the room who hunted the early days. Doesn't have to be the first year, but could be somewhere in the 70s, somewhere in the 80s, who's willing to tell us about another one of those early days hunts. And I'm happy to wait through the discomfort of one of you deciding to come up and tell a story. All right, well done. So this is a little bit of an introduction for how the storytelling part of tonight is gonna go. If you want, you can let Mary and Andy know that your story is okay to record and to keep in the Folklife Center collection, or you can say, I just wanna tell it tonight, don't record it and keep it in the collection. So that is your call.
And record it if you want.
All right, so Mary and Andy will work with you after you tell your story on the paperwork, but for now, just introduce yourself and tell your story.
My name is Jim Sargent. I'm from Waterbury, Vermont. And my brother-in-law, Jay, and I hunted the first year down in Rupert, Vermont. Jay grew up in Rupert, and the turkeys were stocked next door in Paulette. So we ended up going down to yet a little camp down there. And that first year, it was a lottery drawing, if anybody remembers that. So you had to submit an application, and then some of the guys got drawn and some didn't. But we went down. Excuse me, I'm a little nervous. But so anyway, we went down to Jay's camp, and we didn't know anything about turkey hunting to speak of, because there was nobody to learn from back then. We had gone to a couple seminars down in Rutland, and I think one was Ben Lee or one of the big guys there that was hunting down that way. And so that's the only place we could learn. So we went down there, and you were lucky if you even heard a bird back then. But there were a few around, we saw some, but we never got close to them. So that was the first year. So then it started getting a lot better. I finally ended up shooting my first turkey in Milton, Vermont, once they got up this way. So. Thank you.
We couldn't have asked for a better start to the storytelling. Thank you for that. Anyone else who wants to tell a story, or anyone else who's on the fence, be thinking about your story now, because at the end of this second half, we're going to open the mic up to anyone who wants to share. But probably for the next 20 minutes, Andy and Mary are going to take us through the second half of the collection that we put together for this project, and that is from folks who were turkey hunting just last year, right at the 50th anniversary of the regulated hunt.
Well, I started.
So you just heard Wendy Butler, who is one of our hunter education instructors and who is in fact in this room tonight. Yep. And the reason that we start kind of our second half of the collection, the turkey hunting today, off with a hunter ed instructor, is because turkey hunting has now been around for a full generation in Vermont. If just folks who had hunted the first season were the only folks who were still hunting, turkey hunting would not be going forward into its second half century. But because of people like Wendy, who are teaching new hunters, who are bringing in millennials and women and new people who have never hunted before, not from hunting families, we see turkey hunting really thriving, and we see it continuing to move forward. And our next couple interviews are gonna be from people who took up hunting as adults right around that 50th anniversary and kind of share with us some of the things that drew them to it. And I think you'll hear similarities to John Hathaway's story, to some of the comments from Jeff and John Hall throughout. So this next interview is one of Wendy's students, Shane Silverman, who I think is talking about a hunt from just last year. So Shane's story, incredibly successful hunt. Thanks to great mentors, there are a lot of people who are having first turkey hunts or first hunts, period, that go like Shane's. But for anyone who has hunted turkeys, you know that most hunts do not go like that. Most hunts don't end with a turkey. Most hunts end with you learning some important lessons. And one of the things that we love about this next story, which is two adult onset hunters who live here in town who decided we're gonna learn how to turkey hunt, is that they do everything wrong and they still come out of it ready to hunt the next season and a lot smarter than they went in. So, like John Hathaway's, that's an incredibly relatable turkey hunt. And like John Hathaway, Bar and Meg are still hunting turkeys. There's this question which all of us probably ask at some point in hunting turkeys, and which everyone in our lives who does not hunt turkeys asks of us about hunting turkeys, which is, why are you doing this? It is a strange activity. And I think especially for people who are coming into turkey hunting cold, so new as adults, not coming from a hunting background, one really obvious but really important answer that isn't talked about enough is food. And our last interview from kind of the collection on hunting turkeys today, what does it look like at the 50th anniversary, start of the next 50 years, is gonna get to that why it gets to the food. So once you get into the food of hunting, it kind of opens up a floodgate of what are the other reasons we hunt. And hunting is a strange activity. It's killing a creature and eating that creature. And then it's also being very close to that creature. It's being in nature in a really intense way. And as we listened back to all of the stories in this collection, we came back to Wendy Butler's interview because she said something just very precise and true about the strangeness and the realness and the being in natureness of hunting that pairs well with the turkey three ways, we think.
Number one.
And so everything we've heard up to now, that it has been a hunting story from the early days of the reintroduction, all the way through turkey three ways, all the way to the deeper why we hunt. But having turkeys on the landscape is more than a hunting story. The turkeys are here for everyone. And we listened again to John Hall, one of the Fish and Wildlife staff who was there during the early reintroduction, extra closely as we were wrapping this collection up, because John gets to that. He gets to what it actually means for everyone, not just for hunters, that these birds were brought back.
We have had
inclusion of the listening party, the recorded audio section of our program. And I'm Andy and I together conducted most of these interviews, and I had the pleasure of editing these clips, which means I just get to spend really close attention and a lot of time, you know, listening really deeply, hearing the care, hearing the excitement, hearing the humor in all of these stories and all of your voices. And so thank you so much for engaging this sort of experimental performance art listening party format that we're playing with. But I just really, whenever I finish a session where I've just gotten to like really listen to someone's words in that way, I'm always like, I want everyone to get to have that experience. So thanks for sharing it in it a little bit. We're really excited that this collection is being added to our archive. It joins a lot of other material, a lot of other records related to Vermonters' connection with the land, with hunting. We have a pretty big collection of materials related to deer hunting, but thanks to Fish and Wildlife and the National Wild Turkey Federation and you, the turkey collection really starts here and now. So we're excited, and really our mission is to not only record and preserve these stories ourselves, but also to empower and support people who see something important in their community, in their daily life, and think it should be recorded and kept for posterity. So that's what we're here for. If you ever think, you know, I could hold a microphone, I know someone who's got a great story, we would love to hear from you. We would love to lend you an audio recording kit. That's really what we're all about. Our mailing list, sign up for our mailing list, I think is being passed around. So we hope we see you at some future events. And I think now we're gonna shift hopefully to some more turkey tales told live. Neither Andy and I are turkey hunters or hunters of any kind. And so Andy's a vegetarian, but we are both just passionate and so interested in the life experiences of people who call Vermont home, and just love the chance to get to see it and hear it through the eyes and through the lens of maybe people who have experiences totally different from us. And so one of my favorite parts of this project, this is the best attempt that I have at a hunting story, is that Josh and Nicole arranged for us to go out on a spring turkey hunt with Bob Etzweiler down in Guilford last spring. They gave us an extensive kind of list of things to pack and prepare and what to wear, and don't bring any snacks in crinkly, you know, wrapping or anything. And Andy, I think, bought like 4 gallons of tick repellent. And so we met Bob in the parking lot of the Putney Co-op at about, you know, 4 a.m., something like that. And I get out of the car. Nicole said maybe something to sit on would be good once you get your spot in the woods. And so I reach in my car and I pull out a canoe cushion. I do canoe, and my canoe cushion is blue and yellow, like bright, vibrant blue and yellow. And that's not a color you should have with you when you're turkey hunting. Maybe you know this. So anyway, it was a really great way to spend the morning sitting in the woods. We did get to see, we got to hear some great calling. We got to call, Bob called a turkey right in, but he was just in the wrong spot for Nicole to get the shot. She was so ready. Anyway, so we also recorded that whole experience. Bob let us put a microphone on him, so we have all this recording of the close conversation that happens between hunters when they're in the woods, when they're listening and consulting. So anyway, I love doing this project. We're so happy that you were here to share and celebrate with us, and I'd love to open the mic up to anyone else who has a story to share. As Josh said, just give us, you know, a thumbs up or thumbs down if you want to be recorded. And we are also not afraid to wait in awkward silence until someone steps on up to the mic. So, thank you.
All right, if you will humor me for just a fairly quick story. This one started out many years ago, back when I was a volunteer for the Turkey Federation and I hadn't gotten into this position yet. I was part of a mentor program that we were doing, and one of the people that was a part of that as an attendee in that mentor program was this woman that kind of stuck out. She, you know, she had the gauges and a lot of tattoos and a lot of piercings, and I was kind of like, you know, wow, this is awesome. And throughout the day, she kept asking these great questions and very invested in it. And I said, she is going to get a turkey. I'm going to see to it. So fast forward, we get to our scheduled day. The day before, we went into this certain spot that I've kind of called the Triangle of Doom. It's a wood spot, and you know, having the lay of the land here is important. It's basically where this big steep draw comes out onto a nice flat. And typically where we set up, the turkeys roost dead in front of us. Well, we went out there that evening before, went to set up our blind, dead silence, nothing. Nothing would reply. So I'm like, well, faith in our scouting. We come back very early the next morning, we set up, and I said, okay, you all set, all ready. And about as soon as I said that in the gray light, we heard our first spontaneous gobble right straight out in front of us. So I was like, oh, right. And now by this point, the turkey hunter had been created. Like, the eyes are this big. I can see through her camo face net. She's just quivering with excitement. And we ended up calling that bird in. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. A beautiful three-year-old tom came right up the draw, but ended up coming out and standing 15 yards directly behind us. And so she's now like, just, what do I do? What do I do? I'm like, just wait. It's early. We're okay. So we quieted down. The bird ended up walking back and kind of going off and doing his thing. We waited a little bit, and I said, I'd kind of like to let him start gobbling spontaneously. And he did. About an hour later, he starts going. Worked him again. And I'm, you know, I had kind of been showing her what to do with the calls up to this point. The bird comes back in, but stays about 40 yards out in the thick stuff. And again, turns and walks away. So now it's the third strike. And he starts gobbling on his own again about a half hour later. And I handed her, I said, this one's on you. You're going to call your bird in. We're going to get him this time. I said, we're going to just make a quick adjustment because we know he's out of sight right now. We pivoted things, got all set up, and I said, okay, start calling. And she started soft and worked into it, and he gobbled and responded. And within 10 minutes, here he comes. That beautiful redhead came right in at 28 yards, and she squeezed the trigger and got her first turkey. So that was just one of those stories that it was such an exciting moment to be a part of. And as a turkey hunter, I don't have to squeeze the trigger to feel that excitement and that passion. You know, this is what I do for a living, and getting to share that passion with everybody is huge. So, and if I just put in a quick shameless plug, everybody that kind of is part of what we do here for the Turkey Federation are volunteers. We have some great volunteers here. We've got a chapter right here in this area, the Lake Champlain Longbeards, and we're always looking for new volunteers, always looking for extra help. So thank you for indulging me with this story.
I'm Ron Lafreniere from Bolton, Vermont. I guess as any turkey hunter knows, you have pretty much make a story every day. I can relate probably being in the woods with my son at a very young age. Shot one of my first long-bearded turkeys with him. So I'll give you that story. It's kind of a little bit funny in a bit, but it was a classic hunt, morning hunt. We went in the woods well before dark. I mean, well before daylight, I mean. Got set up in a spot where I knew the turkeys normally hang out. Sure enough, coming towards daylight, two birds gobbled. And they probably were definitely less than 100 yards from us that morning. Kind of right around the corner, sitting on the top of a ridge. And where we set up, the trees were not big enough for both of us to sit at the same tree. And it was the first hunt that my son had ever gone on, turkey hunt that he'd been with me. So I set him back probably a little less than 10 yards from me, but he's a little bit higher up. And sure enough, the turkeys flew down. I called a little bit, and the turkeys started coming our way. Well, there were some boulders in front of us, and the birds came He could see the birds before I could. So, being young, I think he was probably about 10 at that time. And as the toms come close, he goes, "Shoot it, Dad, shoot it, Dad." And I couldn't even see the bird. I didn't have a clear shot at the birds yet. So I'm like, oh no, he's gonna scare them away. But sure, they came just a few more steps. The first one stepped into range and dropped. And so that was the first long beard that the two of us were together on. So it's a pretty special story for me.
Good evening, my name is Linda Schiffer, and I'm not gonna tell you about my first bird, I'm gonna tell you how I got into turkey hunting at all. I was born in Philadelphia, I grew up in Wilmington, Delaware. No one anywhere near me hunted. I was a city kid. Flash forward in 2001, my husband and I and our two kids moved here to Vermont, little bit different than the city and where we were. I had been working at a place up in Williston, too long of a commute. I chucked that, went to work at Middlebury College in residential life, where I had a lot of interaction with the guys in the maintenance department and in woodworking and things like that. These guys all hunted. Deer, turkey, they ice fished, they did it all. At Middlebury College in January, they run a program called J-Term. No credit for the course, but they offered things like ice fishing and other things like that. So I was like, well, I like to fish, and I don't mind the ice. So the next thing I know, I'm out on the ice with these guys, and we're drilling holes, and we're ice fishing. I'm having a grand time. We saved all the fish that we caught during that particular J-Term, had a big fish fry at the end. We're sitting around at the end of J-term. One of the guys looks at me and says, "You should hunt." I looked at him like he was like from outer space. I was like, "No, I don't hunt, I go to the grocery store." He said, "No, I'm telling you, you should hunt turkey. It will be an experience that you will never believe, and you'll like it." And we're talking and we're talking. The next thing I know, I'm in Dick's Sporting Goods. I'm buying a shotgun, and I'm like, oh my God, my parents would be flipping in their grave. And I'm like, I don't care. I signed up, I took the hunter safety course. My husband, who is just sort of watching all this from the wings going, what is she doing? Realizes that if he wants to spend any time with me during certain times of the year, he better get on his game. So he takes the hunter safety course. First season came along, and one of the gentlemen that I had been out ice fishing with took me out into the field, showed me how to set up, what to do, how to call the birds in. I was 2 left feet. It was a mace. It was a spring season. It was May. I got my boot caught deep in the mud and went to pull it out and ran it right on my rear end. Soaking wet, I never said a word. He didn't ask anything. Sat quietly. He scratched, heard the gobble, sighted the rifle or the shotgun, took my shot and got my first shot with him. That was probably around 2005, 2006 when I started. I haven't had as much luck, but I'm still out in the field and I absolutely love it. Thank you.
Craig Zondag. I live in New Haven, Vermont. Just want everyone just to note the sunlight on the buildings out here and kind of on the, yeah, just in this moment, it's quite beautiful outside. I grew up in Pennsylvania, and I didn't actually start hunting until I went to college at the University of Wisconsin, and I had developed a best friend who brought me into the ranks of duck hunting. Initially, and I thought if I ever hunted anything, it would probably be ducks, because I really like eating duck. And then an opportunity availed itself to hunt turkey, and The first time I hunted turkey was in northeast Pennsylvania. And well, let me just ask this question, and it would be difficult to record this perhaps on the audio, but how many of you ever fallen asleep at the trunk of a tree while you're turkey hunting? That really warms my heart. Thank you. Yeah, I think there was about nine or ten hands that were raised. Yeah, so my first time turkey hunting, it was, got up early before sunrise and hiked up into this property in northeast Pennsylvania. And it was quiet. There was nothing. I didn't hear any gobbles out in the distance or anything. And of course, I fell asleep. And I bought a turkey decoy that had, 50, 75 feet out in front of me. But never heard anything, fell asleep. And then I nodded awake and looked off to the left, and there's a turkey 15 feet from me walking past my left shoulder. And the gun was just like laying on my lap, and I was like so startled. And that was my first turkey hunting experience. I went back the next year, went back to the same spot, in fact, and I set up my decoy, and again, it was really quiet. No gobbles, nothing, and I was doing my best to call using diaphragm call, and then all of a sudden, out of my vision on the right-hand side, I saw something move in the forest floor, and it was a gray fox, and the gray fox started stalking my turkey decoy, and 50 feet from the turkey decoy, this thing just rushes the decoy and just pounces on my decoy. I thought, oh, that's the end of that hunt day. I'm sure there's no turkey around here. So I probably have more stories of not actually getting a turkey, but I'm sure all of you do as well. And I think, one of my favorite turkey hunts is the spring, particularly when spring migration is taking place and spring ephemerals are coming up off the forest floor, and just noting the phenology of those things from year to year. And I had this wonderful experience sitting at the base of a tree here in Vermont turkey hunting, where a male scarlet tanager just returned on migration. And I saw it up in the tree, and it landed less than 5 feet from me where I was sitting on the forest floor. And it turned over a leaf. How it knew there was a worm there, but it actually picked up a worm underneath the leaf. It turned over and then flew back up to the tree. And I just thought, that's a pretty magical moment. And I think the magical moments, it's not so much, getting the bird, although I love cooking, and I could tell you all the different recipes I've made with wild turkey that are just, it's one of the greatest joys and one of the greatest gifts, I think, that we have. But all the non-hunting things, all the other wildlife experiences that we get to experience by being dressed in camouflage and not being noticed by a lot of other life out there, and just having that moment to be in creation and give thanks. So, thank you.
Thank you. Oh, this is really high up.
Hi, I'm Sam Nicoloro. I'm actually from Massachusetts. I'm a University of Vermont student. I took my first turkey during New Hampshire Youth Weekend, which was super exciting for me. I love going out, well, I can't anymore, but I loved going out for Youth Weekend and just seeing other young hunters out there, because there's not as many of us as we might like. It was a really magical moment for me. I went out with a family friend, because my dad's a hunter, but he's a deer hunter, like through and through, just deer. So I went out with a family friend from the gun club, turkey hunting, and we had shit luck all morning. I would either move too quick and spook something, or I would get overexcited about a group of just hens, and it was just nothing all morning. And it was getting to be noon, and Rich was like, oh, once it's noon, the day is over. Might as well pack up and go home. But I was like, no, I really want it, because I was only like 15. I was so excited to get a turkey because my sister had just gotten a doe, and I was envious. So I was begging to stay out there, and we stayed out there, and we actually spotted two turkeys from the road, and we were like, well, let's see where this goes. We saw them probably like 100 yards away from the road, so we followed into the woods, and it went into this really swampy, like, nasty area, and we took the guess that the turkeys wouldn't cut through that and that they would go around to a drier spot that we knew we had seen turkeys at before. So we took the shortcut through all the nasty muck, and I was up to like here, and I stank. I was cold, and I was all gross. But I found a place to sit and wait and see if they would show up. And I was just so antsy, because I'm only 15. And the turkeys showed up, and I had my choice of two toms. They were just perfectly set up for me, probably only the distance between me and the gentleman in the green flannel. And I took my first turkey that weekend. I was so excited. I went to the post office to check it in, and someone there started cussing me out, some 16-year-old, who told me that he was also in the woods and that I stole his tom from him. And I was horribly embarrassed. I like broke into tears. I was like, oh my God, I'm the worst person ever. And and I was like, well, there were two birds though. And so that's what I told him, and then I went home.
Yeah, I think I'm ready. I'm Nicole Meyer. I work for Vermont Fish and Wildlife. I don't know that I want to tell the story of my first turkey, because I think what's more exciting was what, I forgot your name, what you were saying earlier about those magic moments. And I've had so many of those magic moments in the woods, and I didn't grow up hunting either. I didn't touch my first gun until after I graduated from college. And then I was luckily surrounded by so many wonderful hunting mentors like Wendy and like Brett. And so many people who encouraged me that I fell in love with hunting, not only for those magic moments in the woods, but also because of the community and the people who are part of this. You know, like I said, I grew up a non-hunter in a family who didn't have any guns, and my mom was so perplexed about how I came to hunting. She said, you know, Nicole, I thought you wanted to save Bambi and not kill it. And I said, Mom, killing Bambi is sometimes saving Bambi too. And now my mom is one of my very biggest cheerleaders around hunting, and she's constantly, when are we gonna get that Thanksgiving turkey from you? And I'm like, oh, well, I am very selfish with, as many of us are, very selfish with the meat that we harvest. But I think one of my most magical moments in the woods was I was one of my first turkey seasons here in Vermont, and I was hunting this patch of woods, and we had been hunting all day and hadn't seen anything. And so I was feeling really frustrated about that, as many new hunters are frustrated when they've spent a lot of time and worked really hard to try to at least see something. But I had this moment where I just see this beautiful doe walking toward me. And I just was silent. And I just put my gun down. And this doe keeps on just coming toward me. And I think, my God, I have never been so close to a living deer before. And she just kept walking toward me. And she was really trying to figure out what I was. She knew I was there. She didn't quite know what I was. But she did this. We made eye contact, and it was like otherworldly to me. I had never made eye contact with a wild animal like that. She probably came a good 5 feet in front of me. I felt like if I had reached out, I would have been able to touch her. And then she cocked her head like this and looked at me. And then the wind shifted, and she smelled me and bolted. And I just got chills all over my body that I was that close to this beautiful deer who was inspecting me and trying to figure me out, and what did she think I was? And it was just that in and of itself was such an exhilarating experience. And then I walked out of the woods with my friend Jeff, who I was hunting with, and he said, "I'm so sorry we didn't get anything today, no action." I was like, that was one of the most memorable experiences of my whole life. Like, even now thinking about it, I just got goosebumps all over me. It was so cool. And that experience really got me hooked on turkey hunting, even though it didn't involve a turkey. Is that okay? I told that. I just like, okay, thank you.
All right, so this happened at our Harpoon Brewery story night last week, and it's kind of like the 10 a.m. slump in the turkey woods. This is the middle of the story session slump, and predictable, you have to power through it. That's when the good stories come up, is on the far side. To help those stories along, what I want to say is this. We often talk about hunters contributing to conservation with their time or with the taxes we pay that go to land and go to biodiversity conservation. That's all true. But the other thing that hunters especially can give and need to give to conservation is their stories, is stories like what Nicole just shared, or the stories we have in this collection, or the memories of people who were there for the first turkey hunt that will be forgotten if we don't record them. This is your chance, if you have a turkey woods story, to share it. That is just as important to conservation as paying the excise tax or doing the apple tree pruning. So, stories.
My name is Nick, I'm from Colchester. And most of our hunting stories is always about that one that gets away. And for me, it's my 12-year-old son on his first turkey hunt. We started out at 3:30 in the morning. We sat down by a big pine tree that both of us could sit by. And by the crack of daylight, we heard our first gobble right above us. And it was, oh man. But if you've ever seen an 8-year-old kid, or I think he was 10 at the time, sit still for over an hour straight, this is the only time you'll ever see it. So we watched them come down off the roofs into the field and just sit there, and we watched them for 3 hours just walk the field back and forth. We chirped a little bit, did a little bit of calling. We waited and waited, and they went out of sight, and I said, let's just wait. We know they're here. About an hour later comes this beautiful tom, beard dragging on the ground like a paintbrush, comes across a stone wall and struts in front of us at 15 yards, back and forth for 10 minutes in front of us. While I watch my son shiver like it's 10 below zero out. And finally, he just stands and puts his head up, and I go, shoot, 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 bang. Turkey stands up, pucks, and walks away. And we watched him walk away 100 yards, and I said, what happened? He goes, I don't know. But that's our most memorable turkey hunt.
Been doing an internship through the community news service at UVM with Vermont Public, and I went to this turkey farm in West Corinth to interview them about bird flu that year. And so something compelled me to take my sister there on processing day just to get her to learn a little bit more about where her food comes from, and she was very mad at me. Mostly because I woke her up at 6 a.m. to go. But also she was like, I don't want to touch a bunch of dead turkeys. I want to buy them at the grocery store and not think about where they came from. And I said, that's exactly why you're going to go touch a bunch of dead turkeys. And so I bought her some overalls, and thankfully were the same size, so I kept them. And yeah, I took her to West Corinth and we processed turkeys all day, and by the end of the day, we were eating lasagna in the house of the people who owned this farm. It was the first bit of meat I had in years, almost a decade. And she was covered in blood and turkey juice and feathers. And I hadn't seen her smiling and laughing that much in a long time. And so in the end, she thanked me for the experience. And I stopped being a vegan. And no dairy, though. Keep that cheese off my sandwich. I stopped being a vegan. She thanked me for the experience. We ate and laughed with the farmers at this place in West Corinth. And eventually, I found myself craving more and more that connection to my food and to wildlife and to the animals here in Vermont. So much so that I came to Vermont to research, and I started with agriculture in Puerto Rico, and now I study hunting in Vermont. And it was kind of self-serving because I'm hoping to learn as much as possible. And this will be my first turkey season. I got my hunting license a month ago, and I'm really, really happy to be in this place with people like you all who come out to something like this and have all of these stories to tell. And I can only hope that next year I have some fun stories to tell about turkey season this year. Thanks.
Hi, my name's Steve Plosier. I've grown up in Vermont. Biggest deer hunter you know back here in Vermont. You know, I grew up that way. Parents taught me that, brothers. My son took off to college in 2000, and I just was lonely. Didn't have my son hunting with me no more, so I took up turkey hunting. Self-taught. Didn't have a clue what I was doing. Just bought a shotgun, a couple decoys. Thought I knew how to call turkeys till I've listened to Ron and his crew. But I've been able to bring birds in here and there and harvest some birds over the years. That first year was pretty exciting. I mean, I got up at 2:30 in the morning, had to travel to the central Vermont to beat the crowd to the areas. Sat out there, watched a number of hens walk by, finally brought in a couple of toms, got really excited, you know, the time happened. Shot that bird, rolled it over, swore, screamed, cried, and tagged that bird out and had a great time. But over the years, it's just been even better. You know, I've become part of the Long Beer crew. The Vermont biologists have done a fantastic job, Fish and Wildlife. I've made food plots for deer, but now my food plots are for turkeys and the other animals too. So I think it's growing bigger for me, and I think it has for a lot of other people. It's not just about harvesting an animal, it's being with other people, having some fun, and having stories like this. Thank you.
My name is Sam Nicoloro. I was here 2 seconds ago. that same guy who took me turkey hunting, Rich, my family friend, he also raised turkeys for Thanksgiving every year. And my dad called me and said, you have to go down to the gun club, they're processing turkeys. And I thought, oh, somebody shot a turkey and needs help breaking it down. And I enjoyed doing that, so I was like, oh, I'll go help people out. And then I show up and it's a dog kennel full of alive turkeys. And I was like, oh no, this is a whole different activity. And the guy who raised them and the guy who took me turkey hunting said, Sam, I need you to slaughter these for me. And I said, excuse me, I'm 15 years old and these are your birds. And you've probably killed like 100 turkeys in your life. Like, I don't see what the problem is. And he says to me, well, Sam, these are my birds. I raise these from chicks, so I need you to do it. And so I spent a grueling afternoon slaughtering and processing turkeys. And I had a whole thought process about it of like, is this so different from hunting turkeys? I had a whole ethical crisis. and it was a really great experience to get to see sort of both ways of it, of the grocery store turkeys that we don't really think about and the wild turkeys that we cherish and that we want to protect. So it was just nice seeing both sides. That's all.
Hi, I'm Brett Ledoux. I'm actually state chapter president for the National Wild Turkey Federation, volunteer position. They tripled my salary this year, so all is good. But I'll tell a quick turkey hunting story. I didn't start turkey hunting until 1997, maybe that's a long time ago. Maybe it's not, depending on who you are. But I grew up in a deer hunting family, and my dad mentored me deer hunting, but he never turkey hunted. So when I started turkey hunting, I had early success and was able to fill both my Vermont tags the first season. And my dad said, maybe I'd like to try that. So I brought him out and called in a longbeard for him at age 70. So the mentorship kind of went full circle. And speaking of mentorship, I think I will be one of the instructors at the Learn to Hunt program coming up this weekend as well. So I think there's three or four of us in the room that will be there. So we're looking forward to teaching new to turkey hunters or experienced turkey hunters, maybe some of our tactics and trips. But that turkey my dad shot had gobbled way off. And I'm not good at sitting still anymore, but I was at that time apparently, and kept calling to that bird. And there's nothing like hearing a gobble from a long ways, getting closer and closer and closer. Then you can hear them spit drum, which is when they strut, they make a little noise. We heard that, excuse me, just before he came into sight. And then we were hunting with old Browning A5s with fixed modified chokes, so we needed them to come in pretty tight. So he got that one, and he did a few more hunts after that on his own. But I usually shot the turkeys after that first one he shot. If we were hunting together, I elbowed him just before he shot, and I was able to get the turkey instead of him. So that's my story.
Brett Lafreniere, I am the kid from the story earlier where Dad couldn't see the bird, but I was telling him to shoot. But yeah, that was a long time ago, and that was before I was hunting, and it kind of brought me around to going back to youth. I had this spot that I really wanted to hunt, but the guy wouldn't let me. So I had a friend from Massachusetts, and I knew that this landowner was from Massachusetts, so I said, maybe I can get him to let me take this kid youth hunting on his property. So I texted him, called him, and finally he said yes. So we roosted a bird. This is youth season, so roosted a bird, and we had a real good setup, set up the blind before daylight, had him all set up. He started gobbling. He was hammering pretty good. I set up the decoys, whereas the Jake bird was in the breeding position with the hen laying on the ground. And for some reason, that draws those toms in pretty good. Well, that tom flew down, came to those decoys, started beating on the decoys, and the kid was seven, so he's small, and he's shaking and shaking and shaking, and then finally he shoots. This bird's 10, 15 yards away from us, and he shoots and misses, and he said, that hurt my finger. I think the trigger guard came back and hit his middle finger, but his dad was with us, and it was we were kind of concerned that maybe he's not going to want to do this anymore. Well, we rode around and ended up finding another spot that I had permission at from another farmer, and there happened to be some jakes with a bunch of hens out in the field. So we parked down the road at the farm and made a loop into the woods and circled around, and I started calling to these birds. And they were screwing around. The jakes gobbled here and there, and they were messing around with the hens. Well, all of a sudden, off to our right, a couple other birds started gobbling. And they're getting closer and closer and closer as I'm calling. Well, I'm like, these turkeys are coming. Get ready. So these two toms come out of the woods, and they're walking out in the field, and they're coming across in front of us as I'm calling. And the boy and his dad are just in front of me on this stone wall. And all of a sudden he shoots and one of them drops. So I jump up and run out, and I like leapt over them to get to the turkey, because it was a pretty long shot for a young kid with a 20 gauge. And I get out to the bird, And I turn around because I've got the bird down right there, and I've got my foot on its head to make sure he doesn't go anywhere. And the kid comes running out, and he's got his arms out, and he's, "Thank you." And it made my whole season before season even opened. So it's all about getting kids into it. And you new hunters, I'm so happy that you guys are here. That's great. Yeah, there's so many stories. I've been doing this a long time, and I love it.
My name's Seth Jebo. I got into turkey hunting probably early 90s, actually, I think 1994, and that's about when I met Ron, hunting the neighboring property at my grandfather's house. Let me move this up a little bit. It's a little short. Awesome. Look at that. Test. So I was fortunate to do a lot of hunting with my grandfather growing up. I think I shot my first turkey probably around 95. It was probably the year after I met Ron. I got kind of a comedy story for everybody. So I had a couple guys come from Manhattan, from Japan. They wanted to bow hunt turkeys. Never shot guns before. I'm like, cool, I'm a bow hunter, I'll take you. So I roosted a bird, set up a blind, and these guys were quite a bit smaller than me. I mean, they were both probably barely 5 feet tall. So we fit in a blind perfect. Both had bows. I set a decoy up probably, I don't know, 10 yards in front of the blind. I went through where to shoot a bird. They got their licenses. They were fully licensed hunters. Probably 8:30 rolls around, this bird just hung up in the woods, gobbling his head off. And they were just, I look over, and they're just, their knees are shaking like crazy. They never heard such a thing in their lives. Turkeys were still goofy birds to them. Finally, about 8:30, the bird struts out to my decoy, starts attacking it, spinning around. I look, the younger one of the guys, like, I'll shoot first. I'm like, all right. So as soon as the bird turned away from us, I had him draw. I'm watching his pin. It's just, I reached over. I helped him let his bow down. I was like, let's give him a minute, see what he does. So finally, the bird got sick of it, started strutting a circle around the hen decoy and kind of slowed up. I looked over. He was breathing like a normal human being at that point. Guy draws back again. I was like, all right, let him turn sideways. The bird literally standing still, probably 3 feet from my strutter decoy. It's like, whenever you're ready, take your shot. Flap. I look over, there's an arrow sticking out of my strutter decoy. Long beard's unscathed, walked away, gobbling his head off. I was like, that's enough for today, boys. So that's my story.
So is there anyone who's on the fence about telling a story? If you were a turkey, you would not cross the fence. But you're a human, and you can tell a story if you want. So I've got one queued up if we're at that point in the night. But if there's someone who's just trying to decide, this is your invitation. Yeah, well, I have one last turkey story for us. So I started turkey hunting in 2019, not that long ago. And I had a couple seasons where I learned a ton. After my first season, my uncle called in birds for me down in Massachusetts, and I thought, okay, I can do this. After my second season, I had chased gobbling turkeys up and down and up and down in Richmond Town Forest, never saw one of them, I was having doubts. And then my third season came around, and I had gotten permission to hunt this giant hayfield down in Charlotte that I would drive by all the time, and I cold called the landowner, who amazingly remembered the turkey reintroduction. He remembered seeing the first turkeys that came up north, and he said, sure, you can hunt. I spent a lot of that third May out in that hayfield with friends, by myself. I got pretty familiar with the kind of flock of hens that would cycle through it, and I was pretty sure that I was hearing some gobblers in the early mornings, but I had not connected. And the season was winding down. And it was the second to last weekend of the season, and I was gonna be away the last weekend of the season. And I did not feel like hunting, but I had this morning, and so I dragged myself out at 10 a.m. And I got to the field, the grass was really up to my waist, or at least up to my thighs. There were kingbirds flying over it. I was exhausted. And I walked up through the tall grass. And then I fidgeted for like a half hour, so it's 10:30 at this point, trying to figure, is it gonna be safe to take a shot? The farmhouse is back this way. You know, where can I reasonably sit? What are some good paths for turkeys to come through? By the end of my fidgeting, I'm pretty convinced that there's not gonna be a turkey in it for me today. But I wait 10 minutes, I put out my lone hen decoy, and then I yelp on the box call, and way down the field, these two bright red heads stick up out of the tall grass, which I can't really believe, but I give them another 10 minutes, and I call again, and the two bright red heads are, they've halved the distance. This is a very long field, so half the distance, I know that I've still got some calling to do. But I'm thinking back to watching my uncle call a turkey across a field. I'm feeling like I can do this. And I'm seeing the turkeys starting to talk back to me. Their little heads are bobbling. I'm hearing them like kind of cautiously purring is what it sounds like. It's the third time I cluck, and now they're 60 yards out. I can see that it's two jakes, and I can see that they are sussing out my hen decoy. And they are thinking that something is not quite right. And the jakes start to turn, and they start to walk off into the tall grass. There's a little bit of a hummock in the field between me and the jakes, and soon they're out of sight. So I cluck again, I hear them purr. I know we're having a good conversation, I know they were interested in that hen decoy until they weren't, but I can't get them to come back. And then I have this strange feeling, like sort of like grace descending on me, where I think this is the closest I've been to a turkey since my uncle took me out. There's one more thing I can try, which is belly crawling through the tall grass, feeling awfully like one of those jakes up to the top of the hummock in the field. And I poke my head out through the tall grass, and I look down the hummock, and the two jakes poke their heads out of the tall grass, and they look up the hummock. And it's this really strange moment for me where I think we're doing exactly the same thing. We're these green, young creatures, and I'm a young hunter. These are first-year jakes. And we're just trying to figure out. I'm trying to find something to eat. They're trying to find a mate. And neither of us really is sure what's going to happen next. So I raise the shotgun, and I pull the trigger, and the safety is on. And the jakes cock their heads, and it's really clear that they are creatures, just like me. We are thinking about what the other one of us is doing and trying to make sense of this, and I am having to choose one of them to kill one of them if I can get the safety off and if they don't scoot. And I do get the safety off, and they are just watching me, and I choose one of them and I kill one of them. And there's a split second where I see the other one fly off, and I think, oh my God, that's my first turkey that I've killed. And then from 10 yards behind them, there's this huge sound, and this giant tom lifts off out of the tall grass and flies away.